A very pleasant good morning to you, and welcome to The Deed of Inheritance, a program sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. Good morning to you, and this is Fiona Pishka coming to you from Victory Christian Fellowship. I'm here with Pastor Doug. Good morning, Pastor Doug.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
We are so excited that you have joined us today on today's program, The Deed of Inheritance. Of course, we are always sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship. All of our members and visitors and friends of Victory Christian Fellowship sponsor this program to you today. And we would like to say a special thank you to them and a special hello to them. And God bless you. If you'd like to visit us sometime here at church, we are located in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And we are just about 15, 20 minutes away from Hershey, and about 30 minutes from Harrisburg, and we're right close to Lebanon. So come on down, check us out whenever you have an opportunity. Of course, tonight we will be having our service at 7 p.m., Pastor Doug. What is it that you'll be teaching tonight?
We're finishing up our series on By Grace Through Faith, and we're talking about the grace part, serving grace, and standing grace.
Amen. We all need grace. So it'd be good to know what it's about and even how we could offer it to people as we need to in our everyday lives. Of course, our Sunday morning services are always a blessing, and we start our service at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. And so you are welcome to join us if you are looking for a place to worship and to be part of a family. I think the one thing that you could consider our church to be is one that is loving and part, and it makes you feel like part of the family. Most of our visitors, that is what they say on their visitor card when we ask them the question, what did they feel mostly here when they came? And that is their response always.
Yeah, a lot of people, they feel welcome, they feel accepted, and they're always greeted with love.
Amen. So we owe that a lot to the people that come here at our church. So if you're looking for a loving place, a place where you could feel welcomed into the body of Christ, this will be the place to go. And of course, you may always listen to us online at www.vcfpa.org, or you may call us at 717-838-2033. Before we get started with today's message, Pastor Doug, we want to talk about this weekend. On Saturday, we're having something special here at the church.
Yeah, we're having something very special. We are sponsoring a discipleship class from 9 a.m. till noon, and it's entitled Renewing the Mind, and it's going to be taught by Dr. Diane Hoover, who's a psychologist and a licensed minister. Actually ordained.
Yes, and she is actually a member of our church, and yes, she will be conducting this class. I know that it is a three-hour session of intense information about our minds and how the Bible talks about our mind, but also the biological part of it, the physical makeup of it, and how it is that it functions, and how we could better utilize it for the benefit of doing what God called us to do.
You know, we as a church, we're not just interested in making converts, but we genuinely want people to become disciples of the Lord Jesus. And so this is a discipleship class. That's why the training is so intense and so focused.
So if you are interested at all in attending this class, we do need to hear from you as soon as possible, because we would like to make sure that we make accommodations for you. Our telephone number is 717-838-2033. You may call us or log on to our website, www.vcfpa.org, and contact us that way as well. God bless you today. Let's get started by prayer, Pastor Doug, if you want to open with a word of prayer, and then we'll start to minister today. Your topic is correcting mistakes when you stumble.
Yes. Father, we just come before you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would open the hearts of everyone who is listening to us today. We pray that you would speak through this broadcast, this deed of inheritance, and Lord, that you would cause us to inherit your promises and to experience your benefits about forgiveness and correcting our mistakes. Lord, we just give you the glory and the praise and the honor for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. So we're talking today, Pastor Doug, about correcting mistakes when you stumble. So I guess most of us as human beings might stumble every now and then.
Yeah, as being humans, we have that tendency to miss the mark, to make a mistake, and even to have faults. But God has provided us with a way to correct our mistakes. He has given us a tool that can be utilized when someone does make a mistake. It's a tool that you can use to correct that or to fix it. And it's a process, But really, that tool is called repentance. And it's probably something that is not talked about a lot. But what does it mean to repent? Well, it means to turn around and to go back where you came from. So when we're talking about repentance, we're really talking about change. And that change occurs in our mind. It occurs in our heart. And it occurs in our actions. So there has to be a threefold change that takes place in order to have true repentance.
And you know, that word change, not everybody today wants to hear that something has to change. Yet, I think as humans, what we're looking for is a change in our life for to be better, to multiply more, to be stronger in the Lord. Mm-hmm. All those things are changes.
Yes.
And the world system somehow has taken this word and turned it into a word that's a negative word, or a word that is required when something really bad is happening. But as a growing Christian, as a thing that is alive, a tree, anything that's alive, it goes through changes and it doesn't fight about it. Right. It's a natural process for us to go through. If we are alive, then we will naturally want to change.
Well, oftentimes, even businesses, when they want to change their product, they may not change the product itself, but they change the packaging that it's in. They call it new and improved, when really they just made a few changes in how they present it, and they call it new and improved. And the world also embraces changes in technology. How we do things, how we carry out things, it's changed over the years, and people have embraced that. And, you know, God has given us this tool of change, which is called repentance in the church world. And I want to read a scripture about that from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. It says, "But if from there you will seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you truly seek him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and life. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you, in the latter days, you will turn to the Lord your God and be obedient to his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God." See, a lot of people don't know that God is merciful. They think that he's up in heaven ready to hit them over the head whenever they do something wrong. But our God gives us many opportunities to display his mercy before he shows his judgment.
And to even offer us repentance is an act of mercy.
Yes. He gives us an opportunity to change, to correct the things. And then he says, you know, when we seek him, he will not fail you or destroy you or forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. So I want to bring about a characteristic before the people today, that God is a merciful God. He would rather show mercy than judgment, but because he is righteous, he must show judgment. But he'll always show his mercy first. Mercy will come before judgment comes. And then over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, you know, it says these things in between verses 1 through 10. I'm not going to read all the verses, but it talks about when things come upon you. Well, you know, in life, sometimes things come upon you. Sometimes we don't always make the right decision. We don't always take the right action. We don't always take the high road. And when we don't, that puts us in a mistake. It puts us in something that needs to be corrected and changed.
And, you know, if we go through life not wanting to embrace God's word, which will make us grow, which then makes us change.
Yes.
Then we are, in essence, living our lives by a position of pride. Because we are just going to stay where we are. We don't want to hear what God's telling us to change. Mm-hmm. And in other words, what God's saying, repent of, or change your path in, or go a different direction. Like Jonah, he wanted to go another direction. But all those things, if we develop a habit in our life where everything is the same all the time, and we never want to give up anything to change a little bit, because that'll just mess us up, then we're really living our life on a pattern of pride.
Absolutely.
I mean, even when it comes down to the nitty gritty of your schedule, If you are not willing to be flexible with your schedule, if God asks you to do something different today than you did yesterday, and you've always done it the same way, that in itself shows a position of pride because you've got things figured out your own way.
Yes.
And so you just want to keep doing it your own way.
See, man was on a path with fellowship with God. In the beginning, God would walk with man in the cool of the day. They would fellowship. There was communion. There was intimacy. But man fell away from that. It wasn't the Lord that departed from that. Man departed through sin. And the Lord is always bringing us back to him. So repentance is always about returning to where we came from. It's restoring a right relationship. You know, when a piece of furniture is renewed, you might take a battered, broken, beat up piece of furniture, and through a process of sanding and refinishing, you make it new again. That means to renew. You restore it back to its original condition. And that's what God wants to do with us. And that takes place through repentance. It's always about returning unto him, or turning from our way, or getting on the right path. You know, if a plane plots a course and they're just a few degrees off of their destination, they're going to miss their destination by a long shot. And they have to get back on course. You know, they have to synchronize their signals and their frequencies, and they have to get back on course so that they can arrive at the destination that they need to.
Well, I'm so glad that God, by the Holy Spirit, is able to keep track,
yes,
of where we missed it. Where the turn was that we didn't turn off, or where the path was that we did go off and we should have stayed straight, so that when we come to our senses, you know, in the Bible, many people had to come to their senses.
Yes.
When we come to our senses, he could take us to the spot where we can continue from. And we don't always have to go all the way back to the beginning in order to get to the place that we need to go. Because with Jonah, he was going in the wrong direction.
Yes.
But he didn't, but he could, from where he was, God took him where he was and he put him where he needed to be.
Yes.
When he made that decision to throw me out from where I am, just throw me overboard and let God deal with me. Well, it's the same thing with our lives. Sometimes I think people don't want to change because they're afraid that it's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be hard work, but their old ways was what was hard work.
Yes.
The wrong way is always hard work.
And, you know, repentance applies both for the non-believer and the believer. Because according to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he's talking about if my people, he's talking to those that believe in God, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. I want you to pay attention to that phrase, turn from their wicked ways. Well, how did their ways get wicked? They got off the way that they should have been doing things. So, in other words, when we repent, you may not have to go back to a different place, but it's about coming back to the Lord, coming back to his way. That means you surrender your way and your path, and you take on his path and his plan for your life.
Well, it would be the visual effect of when the children of Israel, when they traveled, when they were delivered, and they would have the cloud and the fire. They would have those two things as a guide to show where the presence of the Lord was.
Yes.
And if they had kept going on without him moving, he wouldn't have moved to caught up with them, because God's not on our time schedule. He would have stayed exactly where he was.
Right.
And if they had wandered off and just went off on their own and realized they couldn't find their way, when they were trying now to figure out how do they get started, they would have to go right back to where the cloud was or where the fire was, so that's the point. And see, that God waits for us at the place where we left off with him. So
yes,
it is going back to him. And he does have the way, but we do have to go back to him.
Well, that's a good point that you bring up, because Moses, he made a decision in his heart. He said, Lord, if your glory doesn't go with me, I'm not moving. So he purposed that he was not going to move ahead of the glory or away from the glory or even get too far behind the glory. He said, Lord, I'm not moving if your glory doesn't go with me. And the Lord showed him that my glory will go with you.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about the importance that the Lord puts on this tool of correcting our mistakes when we stumble. Repentance was the first message of the gospel. It was the first thing that people talked about in part of the in bringing the good news of salvation. You know, when John the Baptist, when he came on the scene, his first message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And people actually came out to the wilderness to hear him. And that was the first message that he told people, was to repent, because God's kingdom is at hand. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, it says in verse 4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance. And that, and the Amplified brings out, it's a change of one's mind for the better, heartily amending one's ways with abhorrence of past sins in order to obtain forgiveness and release from sins. See, if we want to find a release and freedom, we're going to have to go through repentance. That's the doorway to freedom. And even the angel told John's father, who was Zacharias, he said that his son was going to turn back and cause many to return to the Lord their God. So that was part of his ministry. So John the Baptist preached repentance. And then we have Jesus preaching repentance. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And then in Matthew 11, 20, he began to censure and reproach the cities in which most of his mighty works had been performed because they did not repent. They didn't amend their hearts or change their ways. And then, of course, the disciples, when Jesus sent them out, he sent out the 12 disciples two by two. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it says, "So they," speaking of the disciples, "went out and preached that men should repent or change their ways." And then, of course, Peter on the day of Pentecost, that was the first thing that he told the people after the Holy Spirit came on them. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and release of sins." So we see that if repentance was the first message that John preached, that Jesus preached, that the disciples preached, and that Peter preached, I think it carries an importance that we should be preaching it today.
Amen. And for many people, that's a message that they don't get to hear often when they're in the church, because they feel like the first time they repented of their sins, that's it. And, you know, they're going to heaven and everything else. But, you know, to live here on this earth, we have to consistently look at ourselves and see, yes, where we have missed the mark, and repent so that we could get back on the right path. Because if we just keep, you know, fooling ourselves, if we keep I'm at a loss for the word, but it's deceiving ourselves. If we keep deceiving ourselves, then we're pretty much not going to be accomplishing what God wants us to do. We're going to be going in a direction that's the wrong direction for what he wants us to do here on this earth.
Well, that's an interesting phrase that you use called missing the mark. And really, that is what sin is. It means to miss the mark. Now, if someone is shooting at a target and they don't hit the target, there are some adjustments they can make with their sights, and they can make some small adjustments that would cause them then to hit the target. And, you know, 1 John 1:9, that was written to Christians. And it says, "Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." So if Christians did everything perfect, we would never have to confess our sins. But we're human. We're frail. You know, our bodies have to be kept under. Our minds have to be renewed every day. And these are things that we have to do, and it's a constant struggle. So in that struggle, we can miss it sometimes.
So for the person out there that their life is not going like they think it should go, they're a Christian, things are just messed up, and it seems like they're having a worse time than an unbeliever might be. You know, you might want to stop and ask the Lord, what is it that he wants you to do now? In some cases, we might think our lives are messed up, but really we're going through a battle and we got to fight through and just stand. And when we've done all the stand, we just stand. But there are other times where we need to take a notice and do as every one of the disciples did, as Jesus did, as John the Baptist did. And we just need to stop and repent and say, Father, I turn from my way. Show me your way.
Yeah. For example, if we say something to someone that is hurtful or out of anger, and, you know, if we let those words, those negative words come out of our mouth, then we're going to have to repent. We're going to have to say, Father, I'm sorry for those words. I know that that's not your heart. That's not your will. That's not what you want me to do. And I just ask for your forgiveness. And I just ask for you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And you know what's going to happen? God's power is going to come on that person, and he's going to remove that burden that caused. See, sin brings a burden. Sin brings a weight. It'll weigh you down. And the only way to get that weight lifted is through repentance. You just simply ask the Father, tell him you're sorry, be sincere about it, and he'll forgive you, and he'll release that burden from you. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says this. It says, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ. And it talks about, let us move toward the completeness and the perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not lay again the foundation of repentance. He lays repentance as a foundational doctrine or a foundational teaching. It is part of our foundation. If there is a home that has been built and a rainstorm comes along and now water starts to come into that house through the foundation, there might be a crack in the foundation. And that crack needs to be repaired, or it needs to be sealed. Otherwise, it's going to bring further damage. And if we don't take opportunities to repent, we're going to open ourselves up to further damage that can be caused in our life.
Exactly. And it actually even makes a place where the devil could have a foothold. Because all he needs is a little crack. He just needs a foothold, and then he can get in.
Yes.
And so if we're not careful, we could be invaded by the plans of the enemy, thinking that the original plan we started off with was God's plan, and we just keep going in it and just totally could miss it.
Yes. Now, there is a difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow, someone will say that they're sorry simply because they were caught. And they don't really recognize how they've wronged God. But do you remember when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and she was enticing him? She was trying to seduce him. And he said, how can I commit this sin against God? He recognized that that action would go against what God's standard was. And he didn't want to hurt God. But see, someone could have committed that act. And if Potiphar would have come home and found Joseph with his wife, he could have said, I'm sorry, simply because he was caught, not because he wronged God. And Paul brings this out in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. It says, for godly grief and the pain God is permitted to direct produce a repentance that leads and contributes to salvation and deliverance from evil. And it never brings regret, but worldly grief, or the hopeless sorrow that is characteristic of the pagan world, is deadly. It breeds and ends in death. If someone was to say, I'm sorry, just because they got caught for a wrong, that's worldly sorrow. But for in David's case, when the prophet Nathan confronted him of his sin with Bathsheba and sin of murdering her husband Uriah, what happened? His response was, I'm sorry. He knew that he wronged God. He knew that he broke God's law, and that produced a godly sorrow in him, which brought salvation. But on the other hand, Saul, for example, when he was confronted with his wrong of not destroying the Amalekites, pride, as you mentioned earlier, it rose up within his heart, and he was only sorry because he was caught, not because he broke God's law. And, you know, depending on which sorrow you operate in will determine the results that you're going to receive.
Right. Well, you know, anything that we do in the world system with using the world's way of doing things, so repenting because we're sorry or something like that, that leads to death.
Yes.
Because the wages of sin is death. It has no other leading. Now, the path to the death that you're heading towards might seem fun. And, you know, the Bible even says broad is the way to destruction. But it might seem fun and everything, but the end of it is death. And we have to know what is the end of where we're heading.
Yes.
So if we are walking with God, then we know the end of it is eternal life, and it is life. But when we're, you know, and Jesus even said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. But when we're walking in a path that is not secured by God, it's not his way, then it leads to death.
You know, if you were walking in a field that had landmines in it, and you know, landmines are buried so they can't be seen on top of the ground, but I knew that there were landmines in that field, you would certainly want me to correct you from stepping on one of those, because it would lead to destruction. And your response to the instruction that I give it in that moment would determine whether or not you get out of that field alive. Because sin is like a landmine. And when someone is on a path that they're indulged in sin, in pleasing the flesh, and that's all that they're concerned about, they're headed for a path of destruction. And God would send people in their path to warn them or to correct them, to correct the way in which they're going, because this person can see that it leads to destruction. Well, repentance is responding in a good way to that correction. And it's taking heed, it's listening.
And that again goes to show that a person that could respond to correction properly is the person that is not walking in pride,
yes,
but actually, according to Proverbs, they are a wise person instead of being a foolish person, which is what Proverbs refers to, a person
right,
that does not want to heed instruction or correction. I mean, I cannot imagine living a life where I have all the answers and there are other people around me that have some ideas and suggestions for things in my life that if I don't listen to them, I could possibly end up in trouble. But see, God put us all to live together as a family, and he,
yes,
on purpose, I believe, have put different answers for us with different people.
Yes.
So when we get with them, we need to be able to pull the answers out of them that pertain to our life and the direction that he's trying to get us to go.
Yes, the king of Nineveh was a wise man, because apparently what they were doing in Nineveh was wicked and evil. And they were set for God's judgment and wrath to come on them. And so he sent them Jonah as an act of mercy. And once Jonah cooperated with God's plan and went to Nineveh, he told them that they were going to be destroyed in 40 days. Well, the king of Nineveh, he put on sackcloth, he put on ashes, he began the process of repentance to correct the mistake from when he stumbled on. And he caused the whole country to repent. And therefore, they did not get destroyed. So that's the power of repentance.
Amen. Well, we hope that you have enjoyed this teaching today and that you will be able to talk with God on your own about what it is that you need to talk with him about. If you'd like our input, if you'd like our help, if you'd like our prayer, just call us at 717-838-2033 or log on to the website at www.vcfpa.org. And we hope that you will listen to our program online and forward it to a friend so that they as well could be blessed. Well, God bless you today as you continue to inherit his promises and experience their benefits.